It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome back to the RTC Weekly Download. We have three examples of great old-time radio for you today. We're going to have some adventure with Bold Venture. And then we're going to scare you a little bit with Raymond on Inner Sanctum. And we'll come in there with a bit of comedy to bring you back to normal with Henry Morgan. But right now, let's go to sea with Bold Venture.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Slate, you should have been with us. Laid up for repairs on a jewel of an island and the girls with the wild orchids. Oh.
Be gentle with me, Joe. I'm a man of responsibilities now. I've got a boat and a hotel.
And me.
And her.
Every sea orphan to his own paradise. You found yours.
And he'd better not stray from it, or I'll beat him over the head with a wild kumquat.
You got yourself a tigress this time, huh, Slate?
Ah, a kitten.
You heard what the man said. A tigress.
Uh-huh. You signing on with the Tampa Victory again, Joe?
First mate on that stinking oil bucket? Oh, no, no. I don't need her anymore. We're done with each other. I just come off her for the last time.
Oh?
All I need is right here in this little package wrapped in Shanghai silk. I give it to you.
Why, thanks. We didn't expect it, did we, Slate?
Don't let the tears well up in gratitude, Miss Duval. You're only to keep it for me till I come back for it. Will you do that for an old seamate?
Sure.
In a good place where no one can touch a greedy finger to it, eh?
I see. We got a safe. Will that do?
Slate keeps all his valuables in it. His necktie. That does it. His necktie.
It's the best place we've got, Joe. How about it?
Just remember that in this bit of silk, you hold the rest of Joe Bishop's life.
I'll remember.
Then take it.
Hey, what's that combination again, sailor?
Don't bother to answer him, honey. Because he won't need it.
Who asked you, Buster?
Slate, be polite. He's got a gun.
You're cute, honey. Hand it over, you. The thing in your hand. Give it to Tommy.
You'll not take it from him. You'll not.
You know something? I bet he's dead. Anybody want to discuss it?
Yeah.
Don't, Slate. He'll kill you, too.
You read me, honey. Throw it on the floor, Slate boy. He does what you tell him, doesn't he, honey? Hold on to a man like that. And now Tommy's going to go away with it. Because right now, Tommy doesn't want anyone else to die. Mr. Cordovan. Mr. Cordovan.
Shut up.
But Mr. Cordovan, I brought the package. You said
my current suggestion to you, Thomas, is to shut up, sit down, and watch. Consider the beauty which surrounds you and savor it if you can. Sit down, Thomas.
Chorus girls dancing. Not supposed to send me?
See how delicate. That one over there.
She's fat, Mr. Cordovan. She's tattooed.
Primitive goddess. Primitive. Doesn't it turn your blood to ice, Thomas, to realize we are here now beyond the reaches of civilization, a part of it?
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Cordovan. This is a crummy walk-down joint in Havana with a 50-cent table cover charge. Here's the package.
Thank you, Thomas. Did you have any trouble?
I killed a man.
Oh, I'm glad you did, Thomas. Another life, another death added to the fabulous tears of Siva.
Open the package, huh?
Of course. Thomas, gaze.
Uh-huh. How much are they worth?
The tears of Siva. The priceless tears without fleck or flaw, the treasure of the Far Indies. Genghis Khan laid a city to waste for these.
Look, all I see is two star sapphires. And all I want to know is how much are they worth?
They are priceless. Observe them. Pick one up and look at it. It will light up the whole room. Go on, Thomas. Pick one up and look at it.
Sure.
I first saw these beauties after a pig sticking with the Raja of Simulu. He showed them to me.
This is pretty.
Not the Raja of Simulu who played polo. The other one, the one with the wives.
This star sapphire doesn't light up nothing, Mr. Cordovan.
What did you say?
It don't even show a star.
What?
Maybe they're priceless because this Genghis character liked them. But from where I'm sitting, they're dime store items.
Let me see. What wild joke! Someone has bungled! I'll have his head, you hear? I'll have his head!
Phony. I knocked off a man for 2 marbles.
Forgive me for losing control, Thomas.
Yeah.
Someone will die for this.
Yeah.
Mr. Slade, come a man from sea, who dream of islands, say, do something for me. Say, here is pocket, please put it away. I come back to take it on another day. Then in walk man with death in his hand, say, hand over pocket in voice so bland. The seafaring man makes big protest, 2 bullets in chest. Give him rest.
You think they did that, King?
A man finds peace in many ways, Mr. Slate. He only does not know when it is coming to him.
I didn't have to come to him that way.
Look, Slate, maybe Joe Bishop bought it that way. Maybe he could...
He tasted wild fruit on a tropical island. He didn't expect to end up on a slab in the police morgue.
The police will take care of it, Slate. They'll find his murderer. It's out of your hands.
Is it? Is that how you want it?
Whatever you want, Slade.
Take your hand off my arm. Just go get your coat. I want to talk to the skipper of the Tampa Victory.
Whatever you want.
Send him away, King. I'm not in to anyone.
I'm afraid I heard that, Mr. Shannon. One of my less exquisite vices, eavesdropping.
Goody. Now I don't have to be polite.
Thank you, sir. I have come to share your bereavement over the deceased Joseph Bishop. And to ask if Joseph's dying song was for me.
Might have been. We couldn't make out the words. Joe's pain got in the way.
And he had no message for me, for Junius Cordovan, his intimate of many places and many memories.
No message.
The name of a port, perhaps, of a person, of a thing.
No name. Try for a number.
I have consumed your priceless time. Good day. And may the goddesses of whatever be with you. May they indeed.
You know what's wrong with a roly-poly man? He's going through life thinking he's skinny.
Okay, Mama Freud. Just get your coat.
Do I have to, Slate? It's a warm night.
Where we're going, it might turn cold. Get it.
Where do you think you're going?
Where's the skipper of this freighter?
Can't see him.
Joe sent us. Is that the way you say it, Slate?
Now look, let me handle it, will you?
Why'd Joe send you?
He's a friend of ours.
And Joe's a friend of the skipper's. Now we're all friends. Hi.
You got the makings?
What is Frisco do, you seafaring man, you?
He means the makings for cigarettes.
Oh. Here, they come all put together now. Take one.
Thank you.
Tell me something, mate.
Nope.
About Joe.
Nope.
Take the pack.
Yep. You were talking about Joe when I interrupted, mister.
Joe and the skipper friends?
They're going to milk cows together.
You can't get a lot closer than that, Slate.
Real close, them two. Since Port-au-Prince, they pat each other on the back every time they pass.
Yeah, how come since Port-au-Prince?
Since then, that's all. Since Haiti. Since the checker game.
You can have my cigarettes, too. Let's start with the cows.
Nope. Let's start with the checker game. Joe went ashore in Port-au-Prince. Didn't come back. Skipper chewed his pipe stem in two neatly. Tried to get another first mate. Couldn't. Called me. Skipper and me went ashore and found Joe.
Playing checkers?
With a lady.
What lady?
Owns the Sailor's Rest in Port-au-Prince.
I can hardly wait till the part about the cows.
They're going to milk them. Joe and the skipper. In Pennsylvania.
Huh?
Sure. Since Port-au-Prince, they decided to quit the sea. Going to buy a farm in Pennsylvania. And milk cows. Yep. Something happened there in Port-au-Prince, mister. A man who sails the sea decides no more sailing. Something happened. Changed them two.
Let's go talk to the skipper.
Nope. Sleeping.
He'll wake up.
I tried to stop you. You'd knock me down, wouldn't you?
Make you walk the plank.
They don't do that no more. They're knocked down. Skipper's sleeping in his cabin.
Come on, sailor.
Try the door.
You want to handle this, or you're going to let me?
I'll try the door. See? Skipper's not a tidy man. Sextant off the wall. Coffee stains on the charts. And what a dusty compass.
Yeah. Look at the skipper.
Huh?
Come here. Look at him.
Oh, you should have just told me about it.
Stabbed in the heart. Dead. Now let's get out of here. We got enough fuel on Bold Venture to get to Port-au-Prince?
No, not quite. Why?
Because that's where we're going. We'll pick up some gas in Guantanamo.
The question's still hanging in midair. Why?
Look, two guys had a dream about owning a farm in Pennsylvania. One of them was a friend of mine. I've got a boat that can get me to Haiti. That's not very far to go for a friend.
What makes you think the answers are in Haiti?
Well, that's where two sailors suddenly decide to become farmers. Whatever brought them that decision also made them dead. Let's go to Haiti, sailor.
Looks like they're about ready to shove off, Mr. Cordovan.
Give me the glasses, Thomas.
Yeah. You might notice, Mr. Cordovan, that the boat and the girl make a pretty picture.
Shh, let me enjoy it.
That Shannon louses it, huh?
He seems very efficient. On your wanderings on the dock, did you find out their destination?
Yeah. A character whispered to me, Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
And here's some money, Thomas. Hire a plane.
Where to?
Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I want to give those two an interesting welcome.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
You know what they say about this place, Slate?
I know what seamen say. What do they say?
They say when Paris catches cold, Port-au-Prince sneezes.
Well, that's not the way I heard it. The way I heard it, sailors... Those jeans you wear keep throwing me.
Then buy me a Paris dress. Maybe that'll make you remember.
Look, sailor, I...
Mille pardon, monsieur et mademoiselle. You are young in Haiti, no?
No.
Then follow me. $10, the guided tour, and you will grow old. But in ecstasy.
$1.
$1 for a sailor's rest, run by a lady.
The place of Mademoiselle Denise? For $1? Do not insult me, monsieur. I give you that for nothing. 12 Rue des Toussaint. Au revoir, my respectable.
And au revoir to you, too, sailor.
I'm going with you.
Here's some money. Check in at the Elysee Hotel. I'll meet you there.
I'm going with you.
This is a sailor's rest, baby. How are they going to get any if they see you walk in?
Why, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Come back in one piece, respectable Shannon. That you, Slade?
No, honey. But better open up, or we'll scream. Remember me, honey?
Yeah. You kill.
You're doing good, honey.
And me. Do you remember me, Mr. Val? Ah, you're enchanting, Mr. Val. You may shut the door, Thomas. And you may go through all the feminine galaxy of reactions, Mr. Val. Fright, terror, wonder, curiosity. Which?
Dibs on the last one.
Sheer delight you are, Mr. Val. Isn't she, Thomas? No, 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 tear yourself away from us.
Ain't he the one?
I could lean out the window and yell. What's the French word for help?
Even if I told you, it would never rise to your classic lips, Mr. Ball. This gun would bury it in your throat. No, no. Let us just sit here in delicious contemplation of each other until Mr. Shannon brings us the tears of Siva. From there, I may improvise.
You run this place?
Oui. You want to play checkers with Denise, no?
No.
What do you want from Denise?
I want to talk to you.
Sit down, talk. We play checkers to prevent from boring each other, huh?
I'll take the black. You know a man off the freight of Tampa Victory, first mate named Joe Bishop?
Who are you?
Joe's friend.
Move a checker. How do I know you're Joe's friend?
He died in my arms.
Oui. I look into your face, I see sadness. Your friend. Jump.
Yeah.
Two for one, you will lose. Joe dead, huh?
Uh-huh.
He was here. His captain came for him.
The captain was knifed to death.
It was the jewels. It was a bad luck, jewels.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The ones given to Joe by the Mama Loy.
I'm still not with you.
Mama Loy, voodoo lady. In the hills outside of Port-au-Prince.
Why did this, whatever you call it, Mama something, give anything to Joe?
Perhaps Mama Loy liked Joe.
Can you take me to her?
It's not allowed.
I didn't ask you that.
You wish to go to Lady of Voodoo?
That's the impression I'm trying to make.
Denise will take you later tonight. Now move, Shekel.
I hope you know the way.
Quickly. There. There is her heart. Go to her.
How about you?
I wait here. Go. Mama Loy is expecting you.
What? How does she know
Go.
I'm...
Go. Come in, Slate Shannon.
Yeah. You're.
I am Tante Maria, and you are Slate Shannon, and you wish to know of Joe Bishop.
Those drums outside told you all that?
The drums, other things. Joe Bishop is dead, as is his captain.
Maybe you can tell me who killed them.
Those who won the tears of Siva.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Two sapphires that I want to give to a sailor because I tired of rubbing them between my fingers. He told me he would return for them.
Sapphires? Valuable?
To me, no longer. To those who covet them, the wealth of kings.
You've still got them?
Here, in this pouch. Take them, my son. Use them to find those who have struck down the sailor.
I'll do my best. Denise, where are you?
Here, my Shelley, waiting for you.
Well, stop waiting. I'll race you back to Port-au-Prince.
That would be your Mr. Shannon with the tears of Siva.
How do you know? It could be the housemaid with knees to match.
A wager, dear woman. Your life against his. Let him in.
Go away, Slade. He'll kill you.
So unworthy of you, Mr. Val. Instead of frightening him away, you have only...
Sailor, what's it?
You have only given him into my hands. My compliments, Mr. Shannon. You're a gallant. I counted on that.
Now, what are you doing here, Chubby? Huh?
The tears of Siva, Mr. Shannon. You have them?
Uh-huh.
They've cost me many tragic hours, Mr. Shannon. The hour when the seaman told me he had them would sell them to me. The hours of waiting while Thomas killed him. The desolate hour when I discovered Thomas had brought me worthless baubles of glass. They will not suffer any more such endless agonies, Mr. Shannon.
Joe Devil crossed you, huh? Was going to sell you phonies while the real jewels were with a voodoo crone. So we could grow sapphires on a Pennsylvania farm.
The tears of Siva, Mr. Shannon. Death, Mr. Shannon, like this gun.
You don't want them, Slate. Give them to him.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Take him, Chubby. I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
You ought to diet, Chubby. You're fat. You're starved. Exercise more like this.
You.
Pick up the marbles, sailor.
You'll not get away.
Watch him, sailor, run.
I'll have your head. I'll have your head.
Okay, sailor, take the wheel. Steady as she goes. We're running without lights.
Tired, Slate?
Yeah, sure I'm tired. I ran faster than the cops in Haiti ran. As far as I know, they're still looking for Cordovan.
Slate?
Yeah?
Do you think those sapphires will make nice earrings?
If you can get them away from the Port-au-Prince chief of police, said he'd take care of them. He'd send them back to that lovable old witch.
Ahoy! Old Richard!
That's Cordovan, sailor. Give her the gun.
They're shooting at us.
Turn around, sailor. Head right for him.
Are you crazy?
Do what I tell you. Okay, steady.
We'll crash into them.
Just like a pass at him, sailor. Come as close as you can. We've got to take that chance.
What are you doing with that harpoon?
I've speared a lot of fish for this. Maybe I can get me a Thomas. Now, sailor, make your pass. It's yours, Thomas.
You've got good aim, Slate. Now what do we do?
Go back for the big fish. Steady, sailor. I'm going to board her. Steady.
I'm glad to have you aboard, Mr. Shannon. You've made a mess of things. You can redeem yourself by handing over those sapphires.
You think you can handle this tub with one hand on the wheel and one hand on a gun?
Exquisitely.
You've got one shot. After that, I'll get to you. If you miss me, you're dead. It's a lumpy sea, too. Well, Cordovan? Well? You missed. Now it's my turn.
Don't.
Oh, I can do this all night.
Only you give up too easy. Sailor!
Everything under control?
Ship shape. I'm going to throw you a line.
Okay.
Got it?
I've got it. Secure.
Tow us in, sailor.
We going home?
We're going home.
Here, put this on, Slate.
What is it?
I bought it in Haiti, in a little shop.
I don't care where you bought it. Just tell me what it is.
Well, this part is a love charm. And this part is a long chain, so it hangs over your heart.
What'd you pay for it?
What difference does it make? Put it on.
Anything to amuse you, sailor.
Now that you've got it on, don't you feel anything?
Nothing. What's it supposed to do to me?
Make you feel love. It says so in the directions.
Well, you better read the directions again.
All right. Oh, yeah. Here it is in small print.
What is?
I'm supposed to get inside that necklace with you.
Oh, I knew there was something wrong. Come on.
Now what does it do to you?
Well, we can take it from here. Throw away the directions, sailor.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
A syndicated radio program, Bold Venture, with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall from the 40s. That was played all over the country on various radio stations and was syndicated. It was not on a network, but it was a very popular show. Well, now it's time to move on to a little bit of scary stuff. We're going to give you some Inner Sanctum. This is called The Black Art from 1945.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup presents Inner Sanctum Mystery, starring Simone Simone. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is, of course, Raymond, your host. Please come in, won't you? Make yourself comfortable in a gloomy corner. We had intended to have a real surprise for you tonight. Instead of myself, we were going to have a guest ghost to act as host. But, unfortunately, this real ghost caught pneumonia, and he's in a very grave condition. The doctors have given up all hope. He's, going to become alive.
Well, Mr. Raymond, I must admit, I'm glad that that ghost couldn't come.
Hmm?
It's difficult enough to talk to you. But heavens, I wouldn't know what to say to a ghost.
Oh, well, that's simple, Mary. All you have to do is find out whether it's a he-ghost or a she-ghost.
And if it's a she?
Oh, well, then you compliment her on her appearance. You say, darling, what a divine sheet you're wearing.
That's right, Mr. Raymond.
Hmm.
The ladies are always interested in something new to wear.
Hmm.
And right now, I'm going to tell them about something they'll all want. It's a lovely piece of jewelry, a real sterling silver medallion about an inch in diameter. It's the kind of jewelry you find at those smart shops on Fifth Avenue in New York. But the only way you can get it is from Lipton's. The medallion is decorated with a Chinese inscription, and it's hung on a narrow black rayon satin ribbon. That's the height of fashion this year, you know. And here's how you get the medallion. Just send 25 cents and the box top from a package of Lipton's, the tea with the brisk flavor, to the Lipton Tea People, Box 92, New York City. Yes, that's Box 9-2 in New York City.
And now it's time to begin. Our story is called The Black Art. It's an original tale by Milton Lewis. And our star tonight is that glamorous motion picture star, Simone Simone, who'll play the role of Claudine. So, gather close and get ready to hear a sweet little tale that'll make you wake up screaming for at least the next 2 weeks. You all set? Now remember, if you don't want your hair to stand on end, get someone to sit on your head. Okay? All right, now, let's hear Larry Gifford tell you his story in his own words.
Wish I never heard that scream. I wish I never saw a body lying there. Blood all over the room. The knife on the floor near her throat. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget how I picked up the knife. I'll never forget the sweat that came creeping out all over me when I heard the door slam.
Stand where you are. You make a move, I'll blow your head off.
Don't shoot, copper.
Drop that knife.
Okay.
What's your name?
Larry. Larry Gifford. Look, I'm from Chicago.
Stranger, huh?
Yeah, what of it?
What's her name?
Her? I don't know. I never saw her before. Look, you don't have to frisk me. I haven't got a gun.
Shut up.
Listen, I know it looks bad, but you see, my room's downstairs. I heard a scream, and I... Give me back that wallet.
Your hands up. Roll papers.
What of it? So I'm an ex-con, so what?
You don't know her, huh?
No, I don't. I... What have you got there?
Just a picture I found in your wallet, mister. Picture of her. To Larry, with all my love, Nancy. Reckon you forgot about this, huh?
Yeah, but look, I didn't kill her. Shut up.
I think I heard that scream and came up here. Hold out your hands.
Sure. You can have them.
Come back here! Come back!
I didn't get far. The crowd in the streets nabbed me. They got it when they heard the shots and the scream. I was dumped in jail. Well, this was a little burg in the bayou country, not far from New Orleans. I was the biggest thing that hit the town since Ripley's Believe It or Not. For them jerks, my trial was a bigger show than Carmen Miranda and Gypsy Rose Lee doing a trapeze act. In no time at all, they sentenced me to be hung. It was the night before they were going to take me to the state pen for the necktie party. I was sleeping, dreaming I was in Africa. They were beating them drums. Tom-toms. Suddenly I woke up. Moonlight was shining through the bars of my cell. I listened. Someone was beating like a tom-tom on the wall of my jail. Who is it? Who's doing that?
Larry Gifford.
Yeah, that's me. Were you beating on the wall?
Yes. I'm under your cell window.
What do you want?
Drop one end of your tie through the bars.
Okay. There.
I've got it.
What are you doing?
Pull up your tie.
Okay.
Got it?
A gun. Yeah, I got it.
Good luck. Goodbye.
Thanks, baby. Whoever you are.
What's going on there, Gifford?
Nothing. Why?
I heard talking.
Oh, I was talking in my sleep.
You never done that before.
I never was going to be hung before.
What's you holding there?
Come here, I'll show you.
What's that? A gun?
Yeah, and it's got enough bullets to fill your head with lead.
Let go of me.
Open that door. Open it or I'll give it to you between the eyes. Go on.
Don't shoot.
Okay, now I'll take your gun. Give me those keys. See how you like it in there for a while. So long.
Stop him! Prisoner escape! Let me out! Prisoner escape!
The Blue Bottle Bar bar. Someone told me it was a good joint where they don't ask any questions. It was. I had a few drinks. I was leaning on the bar, looking at a paper.
What are you drinking?
Scotch.
Buy me one.
I gave her the once over. I know something about Dave's, and she was dynamite with class. She was something.
Well?
Set up another, Charlie.
Cigarette?
Here.
Thank you.
It's a nice cigarette holder. Must cost at least a C.
You know a lot, don't you?
Enough. I know you.
Do you?
Sure. There's something about... Wait a second. Here. Here, in this evening's paper, your picture.
Oh, it's not a very good picture, is it?
After seeing you, no. Claudine Lucerne. Recently returned from France. Elected head of art committee. Miss Lucerne, member of one of New Orleans' oldest and wealthiest families.
I've read it. Turn the page.
Why?
I want to show you something.
Okay.
There. Larry Gifford of Chicago, wanted for murder, is sought by police after sensational Jane Blake.
Better not read anymore.
Why?
I feel something against your side.
Yes.
It's a gun. I'm holding it in my pocket.
Don't be afraid. I won't give you away. Got a light?
Yeah. What do you want?
Listen to that music.
That tapping.
What about it?
The way you're tapping your cigarette holder against your glass.
I'm just keeping time to the music.
I heard that tapping before. Yeah, sure, in the cell. And I heard your voice before.
Did you?
You gave me the gun.
Shh, let me hear you.
What's this all about?
You'll find out. Relax.
I can't. I guess I had a few too many. My head, I feel like I'm spinning around, getting dizzy. Two green eyes, pink with blood around the edges, looked at me out of a queer furry head. It was the head of a bat. It smiled. It had sharp little bat teeth that had pink on them. There was an ache in my throat. I looked again. It wasn't a bat's face. It was hers. Claudine's. I was dreaming.
Larry?
Hmm? Oh, well, where am I?
My suite at the hotel.
Oh, how'd I get here?
You passed out at the Blue Bottle. I brought you here.
When?
2 hours ago.
Oh, I must have been sleeping. I had the queerest dream. I thought...
What's the matter?
My throat. That pain. Like a knife. Those green eyes of yours. That red mouth. Those white teeth. Look, we're going to have a showdown right now. I'm... Where's my gun?
I took it.
Look, what do you want with me?
Nothing you don't want to do yourself.
Don't talk in riddles.
Have you ever been in love?
Sure, dames are always falling for me. Why?
I guess that's what happened to me.
Are you kidding?
No. Do you think I'd get you out of jail if I were?
But I never saw you before.
I saw you at the trial. That's where it happened.
Oh, how can a dame like you go for a guy like me?
I don't know. But it happened.
I don't believe it.
I'm sorry.
Come here.
Yes?
I'm gonna kiss you, baby.
Larry. Oh, Larry.
Yeah, it's a funny thing to do. Kiss a guy on the neck. Better wipe that lipstick off.
What's the matter?
My handkerchief. That ain't lip rouge on my neck. It's blood.
No, you're making a mistake.
My neck's bleeding. What kind of a dame are you, anyway? I'm getting out.
No, don't. If you go, I'll tell them who you are.
Oh, you Will.
Yes, and I... Oh!
You won't tell him for a while, baby. Mark Grady's joint in the old city of New Orleans was just the place. She'd never find me in that dump. Nobody'd ever find you there. I got a room. I went to sleep. I was safe. Then I heard it again. That same rhythm. It woke me up. I heard it, but I couldn't believe it. How could she know I was here? Or was it her? There was nobody in the room. I opened the door. Nobody outside. I slammed it. The beating stopped. I turned around. I was looking into the muzzle of a gun.
Sit down, Larry.
How'd you get here?
My Grady ran to the room next to you. There's a connecting door.
What's the idea of the gun?
Can't you guess?
You gonna kill me?
Maybe.
Well, you're going to a lot of trouble to bump off a guy who's gonna be hung anyway.
Do you want to die?
No.
There is a way you can live.
How?
By coming with me.
Yeah? What else have I got to do?
Marry me.
You're right over your head.
You hate me?
No. No, I don't. I don't hate you. I'm scared of you. Yeah, I've never been scared of anybody the way I'm scared of you.
Scared enough to do as I say?
Maybe.
I had hoped you would love me.
Maybe I do.
You're lying.
No. No, baby.
It's no use.
Look, what are you going to do?
Kill you?
No, put the gun down. Give me a break. Don't.
Man, that Claudine's a kid of her words. When she tells someone she's gonna kill him, she does it. She'd make a wonderful wife for some Frankenstein monster. She's attractive, a good killer, and she has a well-developed taste for blood. Hey, why should I hand her over to some other guy? She's just a gal for me. Oh,
nonsense, Mr. Raymond.
Why, Mary Bennett, I believe you're jealous.
I am not.
Yes, you are. You're thinking what a handsome couple you and I would make, strolling down the avenue, me dressed in a shroud, and you wearing your new sterling silver medallion.
Now, don't you go making fun of my lovely medallion, because I want all the ladies to send in for one. I know they're going to enjoy wearing it, because it's made of solid sterling silver, and it's really a fine piece of jewelry. Besides, there's a true story behind this medallion, an inspiring story. It seems that the original was given to an American flyer by Chinese guerrillas who rescued him after he'd bailed out over enemy territory. The flyer was told that the Chinese characters on the medallion would identify him and bring him safely through the lines. Well, he did get through, and only then did he learn that the medallion said, "Good luck," in Chinese. Now, there's a story to tell your friends. And to get this good luck charm, just like the one the flyer carried, all you have to do is send 25 cents and the box top from a package of Lipton's, the tea with the brisk flavor, to the Lipton Tea People, Box 92. That's Box 92, New York City.
Now, let's get back to our star, Simone Simone, who seems to be making life hard for a guy named Larry. The last time we looked in, she had just shot him. But I've got a tip that's only the beginning of his troubles. How about it, Larry? What happened then?
I went down in a heap when she fired. The bullets caught me in the thigh. I lay there. I made out like I was dead.
Larry.
She fell for it. She bent over me. A gun in her hand.
Larry, are you... Oh!
Take it easy, kid.
Let go of my hand.
Not till I get that gun.
Let go. Let go.
Get that gun up. I have to break your arm.
No, don't. Oh.
Okay. I've got it now. You shot me in the leg, but I'm still strong enough to get rid of you.
Larry.
I'm no angel, baby, but you're worse. Here's something I heard about, but I never believed. How'd you know I'd be here? How'd you know I'd be in the blue bottle? Go on, answer me.
I've got nothing to tell
you. Oh, you don't have to. It was magic. Black magic. Somebody nobody'd believe if I ever told them. There's only one thing to do with you.
Yes?
Kill you. But I ain't taking any chances like you did with me.
When I kill you, you're going to stay dead. Those tom-toms are going to stop forever.
You think so, Larry?
I know it. Come here.
Larry,
shut up.
No!
I knocked her out cold. She lay on the floor. Put the muzzle of the gun to her temple. She was so beautiful, it made you shiver. Pull the trigger. I looked. What I saw nearly made me pass out. A little blue vein on her temple was beating. There wasn't a scratch on her. A little curl of red hair was twisted around her ear. Was I seeing things? I aimed the gun at her heart. Nothing. Not a speck of blood. I stuck the muzzle between her eyes. Shot till the gun clicked empty. I looked. The white skin on her face looked more beautiful than ever. I had to get away. Out of the same city where she was. Out of the same state. The same world. I let out for the open country. To the bayous on the river back in New Orleans. My wounds festered as I dragged myself through the swamps. And I got a fever. It was like a nightmare. In my head, I kept hearing those tom-toms. I couldn't take a train or a bus or go to a doctor. I'd be caught. One night, I saw a big house shining in the moonlight. I decided to take a chance. I knocked at the door.
What is it?
Sorry, miss. I was hunting. I had an accident in my leg.
Oh.
If you let me come in and call a doctor, I'd be very grateful.
You don't want to come into this house.
Can't you see I need help?
You'll never be helped here. There's nothing good here, only evil and fear. So go away, please. I'm warning you. Go away before my sister comes down.
What's the matter with you? Don't you see I can hardly move?
Go away while you still have the strength to crawl away. Now, believe me.
Tell Mr. Gifford to come in and close the door, Cassie.
That voice.
That's my sister.
It's your sister.
Claudine Lassan.
Good evening, Larry. I was wondering when you'd get here.
You know him?
Yes. Mr. Gifford and I are old friends.
Friends? How can you have a friend?
Now, Cassie.
He's someone like you.
You mustn't mind her, Larry. Cassie isn't quite well.
I don't know who you are, Mr. Gifford, but I do know that she's brought you here to kill me.
Cassie?
I knew it would happen on a night like this when the moon was full. She's been preparing for it for months. I've told everyone about it, but no one will believe me. I've told them again and again, and they say I'm insane. They think I've lost my mind. But she is going to murder me tonight while the moon is full. She's going to murder me. She...
Oh. Go to your room, Cassie, immediately.
How did you get here?
I live here. Come, Larry. You must know by this time that you can't fight me.
Yes, I thought I'd never see you again. I'm not well. I've got a fever. Hey, that tom-tom beating in my brain. I can't stop it. It's getting louder and louder. I blacked out. When I opened my eyes again, I was in a soft bed with clean sheets. Someone had dressed my wounds. The moonlight came into my room like a living yellow ghost. Then I heard it. Scream. Just like the one Nancy made when she was killed. I limped out of bed, went to the room next door. It was Kathy. On the floor. Murdered. The knife was still in her neck. And I heard it again. The tom-tom. Queer sounding this time. I felt myself beginning to sway to the rhythm like a dancer. Then I did something I couldn't stop myself from doing. I put my hands down, drew out the knife. I wiped my bloody hand on my shirt. Suddenly I looked up. She was there. Claudine.
Drop the knife, Larry.
What have you got in your hands?
These came from the skeleton of someone who was once alive.
You're not a woman. You're a devil. I'm going to...
Don't come any closer, Larry. I don't want to kill you just yet.
Just yet? So we're close to the payoff.
Yes. You're trembling, Larry.
Who are you?
There's no reason why I cannot tell you now. You don't believe, do you, that there are unseen powers that can be controlled by someone who knows how?
I can believe anything about you.
Thank you, Larry. Your heart is pounding like a throbbing drum, isn't it, Larry? You can feel death close, can't you?
What have you got to say to me?
I'm going to tell you a story, Larry. The story of a child who was brought up on this estate by a strange old woman, a conjure woman. In her head were all the black arts of the world. She taught me.
Why are you telling me this?
It amuses me to watch you, a murderer, helpless and terrified. So terrified you can hardly breathe. I find it very exciting.
Then it was blood I found on my handkerchief.
Yes. It is one of the ways to gain complete power over a person.
In a tanta.
Another spell to make you do what I want.
In the murder of your sister? You want me to be the patsy for that?
You're beginning to understand. You see, Cassie and I inherited the estate. There's really not enough for both of us.
You tell him I did it.
Yes. And then I killed you in self-defense.
What are you looking at me that way for?
I was remembering something.
Remembering? Oh, that kiss, baby, wasn't it? You're a devil, but still a woman, ain't you? You didn't forget that kiss, did you?
No.
Well, what are you going to do?
Come here. Closer.
Well?
Don't move. There.
You can let me live.
Live? When it's my life against yours, you fool.
I'll put that gun down.
When I'm finished.
Please, give me a break. I'm begging you.
Begging you?
I'll do anything you say. Just give me a chance, please.
Here it comes, Larry. Between your eyes.
How do you feel today, Gifford?
Much better, officer. Legs healing fine.
We checked that crazy story you told us. It's all true.
Tell me something. How'd you know to come to the Lucerne place when you're dead? You arrived just in time. A second later and she would have killed me.
Kathy, her sister, phoned us, told us to come out. I came in the room and saw her threatening you with a gun. I shot at her. I had to. Got her in the shoulder.
You should have killed her.
State will take care of that.
Did you believe the story she told you at first? That I killed her sister and she was killing me in self-defense?
No. You see, Gifford, we'd found out that you weren't a murderer. You didn't kill Nancy Warren. The man who did that confessed. That made her whole story false.
How did she do it, Captain? How did she find out where I always went?
Police psychiatrist said she did it by post-hypnotic suggestion. She told you where to go while you were asleep, and you never realized that you were always doing just what you wanted.
But the bullets, when I shot at her and tried to kill her, how'd she do that?
It was all carefully planned. The first shot she fired at you were real bullets. The others in the gun were blanks. She wanted to get you so thoroughly under her power that you think she couldn't be killed. You see, all this so-called black magic has an explanation.
Has it? I wonder.
Oh, that black magic. I tell you what I'm going to do. Step right this way, friends, and get yourself a post-hypnotic suggestion. Spell it backwards and you get murder. What's that? You can't spell. Ain't you lucky?
Talking of luck, Mr. Raymond, I think Larry Gifford was mighty lucky to escape that awful woman.
Oh, well, you see, Mary, it's very simple. He probably wore one of your good luck medallions.
Oh, now that's plain silly. A man wouldn't wear a medallion on a black rayon satin ribbon. It's the ladies who like jewelry. Yes, that's why I know that they'll appreciate this solid sterling silver medallion that the Lipton people want to send them. And ladies, here's how you get it. Send just 25 cents, which includes tax and postage, with a box top from a package of Lipton's, the tea with the brisk flavor, to the Lipton Tea People, Box 92 in New York City.
The moral for tonight's assault on your nerves is never marry a dame who sucks blood out of your throat. Such dames give you a pain in the neck.
By the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Red Right Hand by Joel Townsley Rogers. Yes, and don't you dare miss next week's story, directed by Hyman Brown and brought to you by Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup. Next week's story is about a pair of murderers who get scared to death. They're more frightened than the guy they're murdering. So if you hear some static on your radio next Tuesday, it'll just be their knees knocking together. Well, now I guess it's really time to close that there squeaking door, so... Good night, for real. Pleasant dreams.
Folks, the next time you send a box of food to your boy overseas, be sure to include a package or two of Lipton's noodle soup mix. You see, Lipton's is just like a taste of home. Mm-hmm. It has the same homemade, chickeny taste as the soup you make yourself. The soup your boy's always been so fond of. That's why it's such a thoughtful, welcome little gift to send Lipton's. And as you know yourself, Lipton's noodle soup makes a grand snack. So remember, send a package or two to your boy. And remember to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Now let's have a little bit of comedy with a comedian, Henry Morgan, who was a DJ on the radio in early years, and he presented a kind of irreverent style, especially with the sponsors, which got him in trouble a lot, and I think got him in trouble with the stations and everything else, but the shows are certainly unique in many respects. So here's the Henry Morgan Show from 1947. This is a parodies, I guess, on radio soap operas.
The Henry Morgan Show. Hollywood, Eversharp, manufacturer of Eversharp chick injector razors and blades and famous Eversharp precision writing instruments, brings you the Henry Morgan Show, featuring Bernie Green and his orchestra and a few surprises.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. Thank you very much. Now I've been in California 3 weeks, and I find they only have four industries here. Movies, real estate, automobiles, and oranges. The oranges are good. Of course, not all the oranges are good, but at least when you buy an orange, you don't have to buy accessories. For those of you who are about to buy a new car, especially in California, I have a word of caution.
Accessories.
On a new car, an accessory is something which you absolutely don't need, which they won't let you have the car without it because you need it, because they need it. I went into a place to buy a new car at list price, and the fella said, He finally said I could buy a Ford at list price, at the Cadillac list. And then he said,
accessories.
First, seat covers. Sounded reasonable. Then seats, to be covered with seat covers. I played along. Slip cover to protect the seat cover. I acquiesced. Car cover. Sensible. Cover to cover the car cover. Nothing undercover. A flying Diana radiator cap. A top cover for the flying Diana radiator cap. A bottom cover for the flying Diana radiator cap. And a cap for the flying Diana radiator cap. No cap for the hubcaps. A windshield wiper. A windshield wiper wiper. Cover for the windshield wiper wiper. And a cap. Aside from these things, he said, you need a few...
accessories.
You see, they won't sell you the car unless you have accessories to keep the engine in good condition. You must buy 4 quarts of an anti-friction fluid called zimilipoid. Also, 8 quarts of anti-zimilipoid. That's to get rid of the zamelopoid. You must buy 10 quarts of Fluxapash. That cleans out the anti-zamelopoid. Fluxapash comes with a free cover. You only pay for the covers for the zamelopoid and the anti-zamelopoid. Fortunately, though, the accessories are delivered immediately. The car comes in 2 years. But the oranges are good.
Henry, that fellow you knew from New York's here again.
Oh, you mean Gerard? Where is he?
Oh, that's him, fidgeting in his seat.
Oh, that's right. Hey, Gerard.
Yeah?
Hiya, Gerard.
Hiya.
So, how's the world treating you?
Can't kick.
No?
No, I got rheumatism. I got that one from my wife, Sadie.
Yeah? How is Sadie?
She can't kick.
Why not? She got rheumatism?
Sadie tells it better.
So, you heard from Sadie yet?
Yeah. She ripped me a postal card.
So what's new with her?
Nothing. It was a waste of a penny. Here she writes me, "Darling Gerard, all of a sudden I'm 3,000 miles away. Sadie gets sexy."
So read what she says.
So nothing important. She writes me, "We was robbed on Monday."
That's not important?
She means the Dodgers.
Sadie's a big rooter for the Brooklyns?
Yeah. She likes to see Dixie Walker.
She goes to the ballpark a lot, huh?
Yeah, wherever Dixie Walker goes, she goes.
So you don't care she's got a crush on Dixie Walker?
Don't bother Dixie, or don't bother me. He don't even know she's living.
And if he knew?
He wouldn't care. Every year with Sadie, it's a different ball player. Last year, it was Pee Wee Reese. All day long around the house, all I could hear was Pee Wee, Pee Wee, Pee Wee.
So what's wrong? After all, Gerard, Pee Wee's a heck of a shortstop.
So I have to have his picture over my bed? Down comes my father, up goes Pee Wee.
Gerard, you know women. She'll change her mind before you can say Jack Robinson.
He's on the wall, too.
Anyway, Gerard, when all's said and done, I can see that you really like Sadie.
What's not to like?
So why don't you write her a couple of words?
So I did. So I sent her a postal card there with a picture of Gene Autry and his horse there.
She likes Gene Autry, too.
She knows a lot what to like.
So why are you sending Sadie his picture?
She makes me look at Dixie Walker. I'll make her look at Gene Autry's horse. Well, so long, Hank. Have yourself a time.
See you around.
Likewise.
And in this corner, wearing 4 pairs of trunks and weighing 620 pounds, the Jubilaires.
Now me and Brother Phil went hunting up in the woods in Maine. Now the reason why we went up there was to try to get some game. Now me and Brother Phil just hunted until we in the middle of the night. When we shot at something, the thought was a bear, but the doggone thing turned white.
Well,
I dropped my gun.
He dropped his gun.
And away I run. Brother Bill said, "Boy, what's the matter with you? Had he been hep, he'd run some too. I run so fast, to say, until it couldn't catch me all day. Now the way I run across the field, they couldn't catch me with an automobile. Now Brother Bill got trigger happy. He took a pot shot at me. Now the bullet went right by my head. Struck the tree. Oh boy, I started shuffling. My feet most left the ground. I said, look, feet, don't fail me now, cause I'm
Alabama bound.
Drop my gun and away I run. Brother Bill said, boy, what's the matter with you?
Had he known like me, he'd run some too. I run
so fast to say, until he could catch me all day. Now the way I run across the field. They couldn't catch me with the automobile. Well, I went by a poker game, wanted to win the pot, but Brother Bill's gun went boom. Didn't have time to stop. I went shuffling by a windmill. Had to catch my wind. When Brother Bill's gun went boom, I had to start to run it again.
I'm going home,
going home.
I'm all alone,
all alone.
Brother Bill said, boy, what's the matter with you?
And he don't like me, he runs some too. Run so fast, he said, until he couldn't catch me all day.
On the way I run across the field, he couldn't catch me
with an automobile.
He couldn't catch me
with an automobile.
He couldn't catch me with an automobile.
The makers of the Eversharp Schick Injector Razor are very happy that leading athletes prefer the Eversharp Schick Injector Razor. During the baseball season, all baseball players used it. And now that the baseball season's over, football players have started using it. We have in our studio Bronco O'Hoogenstraten, the left tackle of the Tuscaloosa Tomcats, who has this to say.
I always use anti-demolipoid to keep my engine.
No, Bronco. This is the Eversharp Schick Injector Razor.
What is?
It is.
It is what?
It's a dollar and a quarter, complete with 20 blades. You know, push, pull, click, click.
Sorry, Chief. I had the wrong card here. For breakfast, I always eat. A heaping bowl of cornflakes.
You mean bowl of cornflakes?
Oh, yeah. A heaping...
Wait a minute. It's the wrong card. It changes blades automatically.
Cornflakes?
No, the Eversharp Schick Injector Razor.
Yeah, say, I heard about that. Is it any good?
Listen, Bronco.
I got you.
Wrong card, wrong card. You know, look, never applauded a commercial. You'll ruin radio forever. You know, I've been listening again to my favorite all-night disc jockey, the man who keeps you up with his music and puts you to sleep with his commercials. See, you ruined that line, too. That would have been... Just in case you forgot how he sounds, here's the same disc jockey we had on our show a few times last year.
This is Station WXZ, the friendly station. Station that loves you to pieces. Bringing you jiving into heaven from midnight to seven. Here's our all-night disc jockey, Chuckles Morgan.
Thank you, Lefty, thank you. Hello, guys and gals. This is your old midnight pal, Chuckles Morgan. Now, here's our first request of the evening. The night workers at Feeney's Bar and Grill want to hear that new hit. It's Heaven in Your Arms, baby, but put me down, I'll be late for work. I just happen to have it right here, as sung by America's famous troubadour, Vaughn Meatball.
Racing with the moon, sailing through the midnight blue.
Ah, there's no one who can sing like you, Vaughn. And that's the way it's gonna be. Now, we got another request here, but first, a brief transcription.
Listen, what are these people talking about?
What's that?
Really?
Mean it?
That right.
No kidding?
Huh?
These people are asking about O'Houlihan's dog and cat hospital. Dogs, are you worried? Do tramps bite you? Cats, do you feel you're wasting nine lives? Then come to Dr. O'Houlihan's. Dr. O'Houlihan loves all four-footed animals, and all animals love four-footed Dr. O'Houlihan. And that's why people are asking...
What's that?
Really?
Mean it?
That right.
No kidding?
Huh?
Huh? Now, I got a phone call here from the guys and gals having a party at the home of the famous screen star, Evelyn Gans. They're celebrating Evelyn's 5th wedding anniversary. Yes, sir. 5 happy marriages. They all ask for the same thing. They want to hear that tender old ballad, "Somewhere There's a Little Gray-Haired Psychoanalyst Waiting for Me," as sung by the one and only Bing Crosby.
Racing with the moon, sailing through the midnight blue.
Ah, there's no one who sings like Bing, except Frankie. Now there's a request from the boys at Feeney's Bar and Grill. They want to hear that old favorite, "Stay as Drunk as You Are," as played by Phil Spitball and his orchestra, featuring Sadie and her magic water glasses. Coming up later, boys. But first, a brief transcription.
Ladies, does your cigarette taste rotten lately? Then switch to Nicotini's, the cigarette that doesn't leave a yellow stain on your fingers, only on your lips. So remember,
Nicotini's are a pain, but they're wrapped in cellophane. Nicotini's leave no stain, but guaranteed to affect your brain.
Oh, docka, 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 docka.
Now, fellas and girls, I got a little request here. Got a little request here from a used car dealer, Madman Minsk, and he wants to hear, "I Got a $1 Million, Baby," for a 5 and 10 cent car. Got it right here, folks. Sung by the one and only Frankie Sinatra. Hit it, Frankie.
Racing with the moon, sailing through the midnight blue.
Ah, there's no one who sings like Frankie, except Perry. Now, before our next number, here's a brief transcription.
Hear that?
Cheep, cheep, cheep.
Yes, kids, it's cheapies. The breakfast food that chirps like a bird. Just leave some on your windowsill at night and it wakes you up in the morning. And remember, when you leave cheapies on the windowsill overnight, in the morning it tastes like something you left on the windowsill. Eat one bowlful, and you too will say,
"Oh, docka, 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 docka."
Now, I got my last request here for tonight. It comes from the Sonny Tufts fan club. Got a letter here from the president, Judy S., age 7. The girls in the club all want to hear, "Climb Upon My Knee, Sonny Tufts." Haven't got that one, but I got a lot of requests for Vaughn Meatball's theme song, "Racing with the Moon." So here it is, as only Meatball can sing it.
Swanee, how I love you, my dear old Swanee.
Ah, there's nobody who can sing like Vaughn, except Hildegard. Now, this is your all-night disc jockey saying so long for now. Before I sign off, ask yourself this question, folks.
What's that?
Really?
Mean it? That right?
No kidding?
Huh?
You know, I came out to Hollywood to be in a movie, and it's a very interesting new kind of a picture. It's a talkie. And, the more I see these talkies, the more I miss the silent pictures. In those, you could always tell what was happening without even looking at the screen, just by listening to the fella who played the piano. And that fella who played the piano in the silent pictures inspired Bernie Green to write a symphony for silent movies, which he's going to play now. I'll help out by reading the titles as they appear on the screen.
The Fearless Courage of Tom Mixmaster. The most famous ranch in all the Wild West, El Rancho Schmo, a bronzed horseman, rides up on his sturdy horse.
What's your moniker, stranger? Tom Mixmaster? Never heard of you.
Ladies, please remove your hats. Can you use an extra hand on this here ranch?
Maybe. How many hands you got?
Who's that darn pretty gal, partner?
That darn pretty gal's my daughter, Tallulah Bell, and you can't marry her.
I loves that darn pretty gal, and I'm going to marry her, and my name ain't... And so their love ripened, till one day... Baby in gray carriage crying outside. Till one day, the orneriest critter in the West rode up, Deadeye Max.
Ah, so you're going to marry Tom Mixmaster?
Yes.
No, you ain't.
Yes, I am.
No, you ain't.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I'm taking you to the Indian tribe, the vicious Flatfeet.
Help! 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 Help!
At the camping grounds of the vicious tribe of Flatfeet, there is much activity around the steak. They are eating it. One moment, please. Reel is being changed. Tom Mixmaster to the rescue! Meanwhile, the Indians roped Tallulah Bell to the stake. Meanwhile, Tom Mixmaster is still coming to the rescue. Meanwhile, the Indians are starting the fire. Meanwhile, Tom Mixmaster. Meanwhile, the Indians. One moment, please, while reel is changed. One Indian bites the dust. Two. 12. Three thousand. The fearless courage of Tom Mixmaster wins again. He takes her in his arms, and with her lips pressed together, they walk into the setting sun. The end. Men, do you need money? Does your wife need money? Do you need your wife? If you can answer two out of three of these questions, either yes or no, chances are you're eligible for a loan from the Morgan Friendly Loan Company. Why live within your income when it's so much nicer outside? Oh, I beg your pardon. Excuse me, a customer just walked in?
Is this the Morgan Friendly Loan Company?
Friendly? Why, we're positively chummy. Would you care to dance?
No. I came down to borrow some money. My name is...
Ta-ta-ta, man, we don't care about names here. Your face is your security.
You mean I have to leave it?
Nothing of the sort, old man. I was referring to our motto. If your face is good enough for you, it's good enough for us. Don't forget, this is a friendly loan company, friend.
Well, Mr. Morgan,
call me Henry. Now, how much did you want to borrow? $100?
$300.
Call me Hank.
Well, do I need a steady job to repay a Morgan loan?
Don't worry, friend. Repaying a Morgan loan is a steady job in itself. Here, I want you to sit down and be comfortable. Now, tell Uncle Henry all about it.
Well, I heard your radio commercial saying the thing to do was borrow from you to pay bills. See, I owe the doctor, the butcher, the dentist, the butcher, the landlord, the butcher, and the butcher.
Well, of course you do, friend. So why not borrow from us to pay those bills?
Yeah, but if I borrow from you to pay my debts, won't I be in hock for the same amount?
Look at it this way, friend. Uh-huh. You don't pay interest on your bills, do you?
No.
I thought not. But if you take a personal loan from us, you can pay interest on the whole amount. Ever think of that?
No, sir.
Well, don't you worry. You'll grasp the idea around the first of next month.
Well, when can I have the money?
Right now, just as soon as you put up the collateral.
Oh, well, what do you want as collateral for $300?
$400 cash.
Mister, think this over. If you put new white wall tires on a 1917 car, you'd still chug along in 1917 style, right? And no matter what make of blade you use in an old-fashioned razor, you still get old-fashioned shaves. If you really want better shaves, smoother, safer, quicker, more comfortable shaves, don't just switch blades. Switch to a really different and modern razor, the Eversharp Schick Injector. The Eversharp Schick Injector outmodes, outspeeds, outshaves any razor you've ever used. It's made different, handles different, shaves different. And man, what a difference your face feels. Cleaner, cooler, and more refreshed. Try the Eversharp Schick Injector razor for 1 week. See for yourself. No blades to unwrap, nothing to take apart. It's the world's only razor with automatic blade changer. Just push-pull, click-click. Out goes the old blade, in goes the new. It's $1.75 value. Special, now only $1.25, complete with 20 blades.
Special, now only $1.25, complete with 20 blades.
For the shave of your life, the rest of your life, remember, push-pull, click-click. Change blades that quick. Push-pull, click-click. That's Eversharp Schick.
That the fall radio season is underway, we're fortunate in having in our studio that eminent expert on European radio, Dr. Heinrich von Morgan. Dr. von Morgan is widely known as the author of such outstanding studies in the radio field as The American Radio, How to Plug It In. Also, The Difference Between the Oil Heater and Gabriel Heater. Good evening, Dr. von Morgan.
Hi, so.
Doctor, how would you compare American radio techniques with those used in the European broadcasting industry?
Well, yeah, the radio in Europe is, well... Of course, it's changing now. A little bit. It used to be... but it isn't anymore. Not much. Not much.
Doctor, can you elucidate?
No, but I can chin myself.
I mean about the difference between European and American radio.
Yeah, well, there's a big difference between radio in Europe and America, as you know.
What is it?
I don't know, I thought you knew.
Well, Doctor, have you ever been in Radio City?
No, but Kansas City I've been.
Do you have daytime radio serials in your country?
Oh, sure, yeah. We got one there, we call it... The gemütliche alten Sittenschaft in Bewahrlichkeiten.
What does that mean?
Just plain bull. In addition, we got a sponsor there also on that program. He says, Geschwellenigkeit übliglichend mit Bretzeln und Kimmen.
And what does that mean?
Bretzels does everything.
But, Doctor, do you feel that American radio, if left alone, will make itself heard?
No.
Why not?
Somebody has to turn it on first.
To sum up, Doctor, what do you feel is our best weapon against bad radio shows?
Movies.
Thank you and good night, Dr. Von Morgan.
For school, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, and business gifts, remember, the best gift of all is an Eversharp CA pen. Has foolproof 1948 cartridge with triple ink supply. The Eversharp CA pen, formerly $6.95, now only $3.95.
Morgan will be on this same Hollywood corner in front of the cigar store again next week at this same time.
Eversharp, manufacturers of Eversharp Schick Injector Razors and Blades, invite you to tune in same time, same station next week when Eversharp will again...
Well, that's it for this time. We've got to go, but we'll be back next time with more great old-time radio, so join us then if you can. This is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.